Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the Comic Extravaganza Avengers Assemble Microcast. I am your host, the time-traveling comic book lovin', first name of my new tongue. Let's try that again. The time-traveling comic book... The time-traveling comic book lovin', diesel punk prophet of pop culture, Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Avengers Assemble Microcast. Hey, Michael Mackenzie Mitchell, glad to see you join us. We are broadcasting live on Facebook and recording for iTunes and Stitcher. Edward Peter Cole II just said hello. Hey, Edward. How you doing, baby? This is the Avengers Assemble Microcast, and we're talking Avengers. I am an Avengers freakosaurus. I tell everyone this every week, and it's true. Star Wars movies and Avengers comics made me who I am today. So we're going to review the new Avengers stuff that has come out in the last week. And if you're an Avengers comic fan, then you're going to love the new stuff. Well, first, let's talk about some older stuff that came out a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't been able to get my hands on it until this week, and I finally got a hold of Issue 1 Alpha of the Avengers Standoff Assault on Pleasant Hill. I had the lead-in, Welcome to Pleasant Hill, but I hadn't been able to get this yet, and I finally got it this week and was able to read it, and I gotta tell you, this is one of the most fascinating new crossover series from Marvel. I love this idea. And if you haven't heard about it, basically here's the deal. Hey, Philip Clark, good to see you, brother. Here's the deal. S.H.I.E.L.D. got a hold of some fragments of the Cosmic Cube. And the Cosmic Cube fragments became sentient. And like merged and became a sentient being, but in the form of a little girl. And the whole idea behind Pleasant Hill was to create a prison. And so this sentient cosmic cube is the catalyst and has created this city using the powers of the cosmic cube to basically alter reality and control the minds and perceptions of the criminals imprisoned. Brainwashes them, makes them think that they're different people living in this small sleepy town in Connecticut called Pleasant Hill. And the Avengers figure it out. They're not happy about it. And one by one, the villains are starting to wake up. And havoc is starting to ensue. And so Alpha issue number one is the lead off, and it continues through the Avengers books. And in this week's Avengers, all new, all different Avengers number 8, we see the fight continue. We realize who Cubic is, the cosmic cube, sentient cosmic cube. As the villains have woken up, they actually kill the Avengers, because the Avengers are without their power, without their tech, until this little girl uses her cosmic cube powers to set reality back and restore the Avengers, not just to life, but to their former glory. And now they're ready to face off in an epic battle. An epic battle led by a restored Steve Rogers. Now, we all knew that this was coming. He's going to be Captain America again. If you haven't seen the new Captain America digs, this is what his new uniform is going to look like. Sam Wilson, the Falcon, is going to stay Captain America as well. He's going to keep the round shield. Steve Rogers becomes the second Captain America with the triangular shield, reminiscent of World War II. Well, you know, the reason he gave up being Captain America in the first place was because the super soldier serum was, you know, ripped out of his system. I think what has happened is that Cubic, this cosmic cube, sentient cosmic cube, has used her powers to restore Captain America, to restore Steve Rogers, and to restore the super soldier serum. I think that's what we're going to find out in the next issue, which will be the story will continue in what issue? Assault on Pleasant Hill Omega number one. So that'll be the finale, the big battle. So we've got Standoff Alpha One, and then we'll have Standoff Omega. So that'll be the bookend. And I kind of like them doing that. Hey, Jamie. Good to see you. Sorry to see you leave, Michael. Mackenzie Mitchell. Hey, my nephew, Jay Blass. Jay Pica just joined. How you doing, buddy? Glad you could join us live. I'm reviewing Avengers comic books. Let's see, what else came out this week? This is last week. Let me finish my thought. On Avengers Standoff, I love this crossover because they're book, you know, bookcasing it between the two Alpha and Omega issues. They're not doing this whole, you know, 9-issue, 12-issue thing, but you know, it's going to be, I like how they did this. And then the story continues sequentially in the individual issues. So, you know, you don't have to buy a whole nother run of another comic to get the story. If you're into the Avengers, you're probably buying the individual books anyway, like I am. So I kind of like how they did this crossover. It feels very natural, feels very organic for the book. All right, Avengers Family Books. Black Widow, number two. Hey, I miss you too, Jay. We need to get together. I need to come out to Vegas again. Let's work on that. Anyway, Black Widow, number two. I'll tell you what. Mark Waid and Chris Samnee have another hit on their hands. They did a great job with Daredevil. And they're just doing a fantastic job with Black Widow. They're really building on her former badassery, but kind of putting it into the, I don't know, it's got a Netflix series feeling to it. I would love to see this Black Widow as a Netflix series. It's straight up spy adventure. There's a scene here where she's hiding in the woods in kind of the brush with a high-power sniper rifle, reminiscent of Helen Mirren in the movie Red, which I love. And so, you know, I'm not usually one who's into the spy genre, but this is more of an action-adventure, high-adventure spy drama, the kind that I really dig. And Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are knocking it out of the park. This is a phenomenal title. It's only on issue number two. Run out to your local comic book shop and get it today. You can get both issues. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. All right, one last new book to review this week. This is Hercules, number six. And you guys may remember I talked about this last week, how excited I was for this issue to come out. The cover is a little bit misleading, though. You've got Hercules, Ire, Gilgamesh, which I love this outfit that they've put Gilgamesh in, reminiscent of his debut in the Avengers back in, what was it, issue 300? But cooler. It's much cooler. And then this is Sophia, the landlady, and the dog. The dog's name is... Oh, what is the dog's name? Leopold. Oh, no. Alfred Lord Tennyson is the dog's name. And It's the dog of Tiresias, the blind soothsayer. And, you know, I was really looking forward to this issue because the cover, to me, suggested that, you know, they were assembled as a team and there was some badassery about to happen. This issue went in a completely different direction. It's really all about the relationships and Herc's place. It's really a character study, this issue, a slice of life. And you learn a lot about Hercules. And I don't want to spoil it, but I'm, you know, he calls Tony Stark to talk to Tony Stark because he's struggling with his desire to pick up the bottle. And, you know, if anyone knows the pitfalls of that, it's Tony Stark. And let me just say that it ends in a very surprising way. And it sets up a lot of conflict in the next couple of issues. Completely opposite of where I thought this issue was going to go, but really strong. Really strong setup for what comes next. And I'm loving the character of Sophia, the landlady. I say give her a pipe wrench and send her into battle. She's pretty badass. So anyway, that's it for new stuff for this week. And, of course, Black Widow and Standoff came out last week and the week before. But good stuff this week. Go to a local comic book shop and find the Avengers stuff this week. Were you as excited about the new footage from Civil War that dropped during the MTV music video or the MTV Movie Awards as I was? I was unbelievably excited. Oh my gosh, to see Cap and Falcon and Scarlet Witch working in tandem, using their powers as a team. Oh, it was everything I want from an Avengers movie. Even though I know that they're taking the Avengers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a different direction from Marvel canon, I'm okay with that because they've created their own canon, and you know, longtime Marvel fans know that you know there are multiple Earths and multiple realities, and the MCU is happening on one of them. It's not the 616 universe. I'm sure someone knows the number of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but man, that Civil War trailer, the more I see and the more I read, the more excited I am. Looks like Civil War is going to be everything that Batman versus Superman just wasn't. And I'm sorry, you Batman fans, you Superman fans, you guys who thought Batman versus Superman was great. I love you, but I just thought that movie was almost unwatchable. It was all over the place. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was good. But Civil War looks like it's going to be everything Batman versus Superman wasn't. It's bright. It's light. It's still emotionally heavy. A lot of action. All the reviews, you know, are saying once again, Marvel is doing it right. So I'm excited about it. All right, so this week's main topic. We've got the reviews out of the way, my commentary about Marvel Civil War, and Philip Clark, I can't wait either. Thanks for chiming in. You know, I thought it would be interesting to talk about our all-time favorite arcs, story arcs in Avengers history. And I guess I've got five. Starting with Dan Slott's run on Mighty Avengers. And I'm going to consider his entire run a complete story arc because it really was a complete story arc from the formation of the Avengers with Loki masquerading as a returned, repowered Scarlet Witch. And again, just like the classic story, reforming the Avengers with Hank Pym as the leader. We didn't have Iron Man this time or Captain America or Thor, but we did have Hercules. We did have U.S. Agent, and we had some awesome characters on that team. And so that story arc is one of my top five favorite, and primarily because of the way Dan Slott wrote Hank Pym. He wrote him using all of his powers together as a jaunty optimist. Pym Space, the Infinite Mansion, making him the scientist supreme. It was just an epic run, and I loved the way that it ended going into, I think it was Siege or Dark Reign. I can't remember. But with Hank Pym capturing Loki and offering him full-blown out-and-out membership, he basically said, look, Loki, you are the guy responsible for the Avengers anyway. You brought us together. You should be part of this team. Loki turns him down, and the rest of the team quits because they think, you know, Pym has lost his marbles. But it was a great story arc and one that I really enjoyed. My second favorite story arc is actually Geoff Johns' World Trust. A lot of fans really didn't like Geoff Johns' run, but I loved his run because he really was able to deal with all of the quintessential Avengers. If you want to look at like what are the quintessential Avengers, he used them all, from Black Panther to Wonder Man. They were all a part of the team, and the whole idea of the United Nations sanctioning the Avengers to basically be the police of the world was an interesting one because it dealt with the whole idea of absolute power corrupting, seducing, and the Avengers having to deal with that. Similar to the themes that were explored in the Squadron Supreme, the first limited series, but without the Avengers going over the edge. And it brought us up to and led us perfectly into Disassembled with Brian Michael Bendis. But World Trust, one of my favorite arcs, and it's actually available as a hardcover collected edition. I've got it on my bookshelf right over there. Number three, I would have to say, is the Proctor and Gatherers arc. This is the basically the Bob Harris run. I didn't really care for the later part, what we know as the Crossing, but the Gatherers arc with Proctor, the alternate universe Black Knight, Dane Whitman, leading this group of surviving Avengers from their timelines, from their alternate realities, was just fantastic. And here we have Bob Harris taking what is essentially the C and D list Avengers. You got Black Knight, Black Widow, who at the time, Black Widow was not an A-tier character. She was B-list at best. So you had Black Knight and Black Widow leading the team. You had the Vision, who was at the time the White Vision, but during this story arc, he switched bodies with an alternate reality Evil Vision and kind of was restored back to his red and green color. But you had those three. Then you had Cersei, who is one of my top 10 most powerful Avengers, and Crystal, another top 10 most powerful Avenger. And you had Hercules. And Hercules was, you know, kind of in between that classic Roy Thomas, Steve Englehart, oafish Hercules and this current Hercules. He was somewhere in the middle. And I loved the whole idea of the team jackets, the matching uniforms. Hank Pym was a regular member. He wasn't there every issue. Captain America was in and out as a member. And Thunderstrike appeared as a member. He was in and out. And it was just a great run. Bob Harris took these B, C, and D list characters, created a fantastic team. And it was a team that could do anything. And that series is the last time, really the last time, that I read a comic series and could not wait for the next issue to come out. I mean, it like pained me to wait a month between issues when Bob Harris was the writer. It was that good. And John Popa, if you're watching, you remember us talking about that during the run happening. And you had some great art from Mike Diodato and Tom Palmer. It was fantastic. And it was a nice transition from the Roger Stern era to the Kurt Busiek era. Nice in between. But Bob Harris run, the Gathering, fantastic. And I would love to hear diehard Avengers fans thoughts about that as well. Number two, favorite story arc is during the Roger Stern era, and that was the assault on Avengers Mansion. What was it called? The Siege of the Mansion? I've got it on my bookshelf. Let me check. What was it called? Where is it? Under Siege. Under Siege is the name of the arc, and it is available in a collected hardcover edition as well. Roger Stern, John Buscema's art, Tom Palmer's ink on Buscema's pencils, and again, some great quintessential Avengers moments in this. You had a great team with Captain America, She-Hulk, Hercules, Captain Marvel, not Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel, but Monica Rambeau, now known as Spectrum, Captain Marvel. Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, the Black Knight, and we saw the introduction of Dr. Druid as an Avenger. Basically, the Masters of Evil return. Please straighten the blinds behind me. Oh, I don't think they can be straightened. How's that? How's that, Lawrence? Oh, that's funny. For those of you listening on iTunes on the live video stream, Lawrence Courtright just gave me grief about the blinds behind me in my office. Anyway, Under Siege, the Masters of Evil return, huge group, and they invade the mansion. And they do some damage, put Hercules in the hospital, and Janet Van Dyne is taken out. Now, one of the great things that came out of this with the Wasp was that Roger Stern really expanded her power set. And, let her expand the ability to grow and shrink. She could actually have wings as big as 4 feet tall. And this opened the door for her to use Pym particles to become giant size. Later on, Chuck Austin would expand on that during his run. But she could still have the wings and biostings as big as 4 feet, and she could shrink, almost microscopic. And he really gave her a power boost with the biostings. Black Knight would put her through her paces, and she could, blast through 5-6 inch titanium steel with one sting. Really gave her added dimensions. And I really, really love that arc. All of the Roger Stern stuff was great. So it's hard for me to pick one run of his. But that story arc is the one that, for me, stands out the most. Under Siege. My number one favorite arc, and I just read it again last night, is The Knights of Wundagore. This is by David Michelinie, Mark Gruenwald, John Byrne, and who else was on this? Klaus Janson, Dan Green, Stephen Grant was one of the writers on this. And this was an era of the Avengers that was really chaotic when Philip Clark says the blinds are better. You're welcome. The Avengers at this point were really chaotic. You may remember this scene where Henry Gehrig comes in and basically says, hey, there are too many of you guys. You got to reduce your roster to 7. There were like 20, 22 Avengers at the time. And Gehrig said, if the government is going to sponsor you and endorse you, you got to par it down to 7. And basically, the government had the right of first refusal on the membership. And it really created some issues. One of the, we saw some old-time classic Avengers, members who had just joined, like Miss Marvel and a few others, leave. Hawkeye got booted, Wonder Man. But then, through the course of this story arc, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch take a leave of absence. They leave, and they're replaced by Miss Marvel, and the Falcon is made a member. And he's not happy about it because he wasn't invited. He was ordered to become a member. You know, now he's a classic quintessential Avenger. But during this run, he was assigned by the government to be the minority Avenger since the Black Panther had to leave and go back to Wakanda. In the course of these 5 or 6 issues, we go through several roster changes. And it's really reminiscent of how chaotic the Avengers were at this time. And it's kind of cool to see how it reflects in the story arc because, you know, Scarlet Witch, I don't know where her canon is now, whether they really did do away with her being able to manipulate chaos magic or not. Glenn Walker or Brian, you guys at Avengers Forever, Brian Schott, Glenn Walker, correct me if I got this wrong, because I haven't, I kind of got lost with the Scarlet Witch after Disassembled. Is it chaos magic? Is it mutant powers? You know, was she depowered? Is she fully back? I don't know. I don't know. But this was where we saw the seeds of Disassembled Planet. Scarlet Witch is possessed by the demon Kythan, and she goes dark and takes out the Avengers, and it's only by luck that the Beast, masquerading as one of the Knights of Wondergor that the High Evolutionary created, was able to defeat her by, you know, stabbing the Book of the Darkhold and banishing her back to the pages of the spells. And that single issue, and that's issue number 187, this is the cover to 187, is my second favorite all-time Avengers issue ever. My first is the first one I bought with my own money. That was issue 222. But that issue is my second favorite. John Byrne's artwork throughout this is perfect. The team lineup, Iron Man, Vision, Captain America, Scarlet Witch, the Beast, the Wasp, and the Falcon. Then you add in substitutions by Wonder Man, Miss Marvel, Hawkeye subs, a couple of issues. It's really one of the defining arcs of the Avengers. And if you're an Avengers fan, and were an Avengers fan back then, and if you've read those old issues, let me know what you think. I think that's one of the defining arcs of the Avengers throughout the years. I'd love to hear your comments and your commentary. If you're listening on iTunes, you can shoot me an email at comicstravaganza@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts about your top 5 favorite Avengers story arcs. I'd love to hear from you. Or you can post on our Facebook page at Comicstravaganza. Follow us on Twitter at Live Comics. And of course, you can watch episodes of the D and Johnny Show on Comic Extravaganza at graphicpolicy.com and listen to our podcasts on iTunes, the Dysfunctional Geeks podcast led by Tim Randles and Darth Lee and Pretty Boy Daniel Shoemake, and my Avengers Assemble podcast, which you're watching right now and maybe listening to on iTunes. If you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Help us grow our audience and bring in more listeners and more potential sponsors. Speaking of sponsors, we want to thank our sponsor for the Avengers Assemble microcast. Of course, graphicpolicy.com. You need to subscribe to their daily newsletter, the best comics news out there. And really, really great stuff. Check out Graphic Policy Radio and our live streaming video show, The D and Johnny Show, at graphicpolicy.com. We also want to thank Comic Bento. If you love getting graphic novels in the mail, surprises every month, and this particular copy of The Knights of Wondergore came in a bento box, a comic bento box, $16.99. It was one of four, and you know, if you like getting graphic novels and you like surprises, check out Comic Bento. Go to mycomicbento.com. That's mycomicbento.com. That's our affiliate link. And when you sign up, that helps Comic Extravaganza. It helps us keep the lights on, keep the video rolling, and pay for broadcast time on iTunes and Stitcher and everywhere else on the web. So go check them out, My Comic Bento. They guarantee that you're going to get at least $50 worth of comics, graphic novels, every month for less than $20. They've got packages starting at just $13, $13, $17, and $20, depending on how long you want to commit. It's awesome. It's an awesome, awesome service, awesome deal, and you get stuff like Knights of Wondergore and other cool stuff. I got the Avengers Masterworks, Marvel Masterworks, last month. Check them out, mycomicbento.com. Well, guys and gals, that's it for me going live on video tonight. Thanks for all of the viewers who joined us. Marilyn, Philip, Lawrence, my brother, Todd Austin, Zobie the Clown, Marie Kimbrough, Dave Manganiello, Thomas Devaney, Kevin Guest, Philip Clark, Brian Knupp, Oscar Santiago, my nephew Jay Blass, Jamie Lee, Gavisk, Michael McKenzie Mitchell, and others. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. Till the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.